Welcome to Jumpstart Weekly, the manga podcast where every week we read every chapter of Shonen Jump on Viz's website, as well as another collective volume of manga. I'm your host, Jeremy.
And I'm your host, Kevin.
And this week we read...
Dandadan.
Dandadan. I liked it. I don't know why I couldn't remember it. It was gone from my brain. Because I just want to call it Jojo, which is not what Bo is called.
No.
And it does not. It's not like Jojo's Bizarre Adventure, like... At all?
Or Bobo.
The name is.
The name is a little bit. Yeah, it's...
The series is not.
Yes.
Before that you have that, though, we have Shonen Jump.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Shonen Jump this week, Kevin?
Not great.
Yeah, I will agree. The sudden exit of One Piece is going to hurt Shonen Jump until it gets back. Are you aware of the situation there?
No.
So, the two-week hiatus that One Piece was on recently was due to Oda going to Africa to consult on the One Piece live-action season 2.
Okay.
When he got back, there was just a tweet that just said, Oda's health is not well.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they have since clarified and said he is getting better, but we don't know when One Piece will be back.
Gotcha.
Manga Plus settled on December 1st, but it had a bunch of random dates it cycled through first, and that seems like just a guess.
Yeah, that does seem like just a guess.
So I don't know if he got African flu or if he was pre-existing conditions were exacerbated by the flight.
Travel. Who knows?
He's entitled to his medical privacy, but the only quote was, Oda's health is not well for about 3 days, which...
Yeah, that's concerning.
Yeah. Starting with Sid Craft, Love is a Mystery, Case 1, A Great Detective's Fate, a brand new series to replace... What got canceled last week? I don't even remember.
Yo-Kai Buster.
Yeah, that's a bad sign for Yo-Kai Buster.
Mm-hmm.
Did you recognize the art on this at all, Kevin?
It definitely seemed like... What's the name of that? The romance one with the three girls.
We Never Learn,
yeah.
That is because it is by the same creator We Never Learn, whose name I looked up and did not note here. What did you think of this detective love story, Kevin?
Knowing it is specifically from him, I'm more interested. I was still kind of interested. At first, I was like, oh, this is kind of lame, but I kind of liked the twist where it's, he doesn't want to be a detective, but he's literally, his parents are like, oh, that, you know, I don't want to be a detective. Well, that's too bad. You're cursed. Bad shit's going to just happen around you.
You're cursed to be a good detective. It's fate. Love isn't fate. Detectives is fate. There are definitely things I liked about it. I like the art style because mm-hmm. I like this artist.
Yep.
My notes include, there is no way that is a guy. And
I thought it was a girl the whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they started using male pronouns. I just thought, there is no way that is a man.
Yeah, I was, you know, like, yeah, this is my, I was like, yeah, that's his female attendant.
That's Femme Watson.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I'm just a femboy. Just a pretty femboy here. No need to look under my hat where my girlish locks are. There are some things in the setup I don't particularly like. Like the, oh man, I had a childhood friend I don't remember and we had a promise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind that trope, but the reveal of who it is this early feels kind of eh. Like, I am reminded of We Never Learn's ending, and while it is a little overdone, it does seem like keeping it open so they can do that sort of ending again would have been more interesting.
Yeah. As well as the fact that neither of them remember. Like, it'd be one thing if, like, the girl remembered, and so that's why she was kind of angry at him all the time. Like, I'm trying to one-up you for this promise that we made, but literally, like, neither of them remember the other person.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I like it being a mystery more. Like, it's making me think of Quintessential Quintuplets, which is a entire series based around which one of the five is the guy marrying. And there's like a lot of mystery of, oh yeah, I used to know one of them when she was a child, but they're quintuplets. So it's like literally impossible to tell until now in the present, they all have like different styles to tell them apart. But it was like, yeah, that was child version. Well, who's child version? I don't know. One of the five of them. They literally looked identical.
Why don't Japanese children give each other their names? I just replayed Fire Emblem Three Houses, and there was also a thing with that where two of them were childhood friends, but only one of them knows it.
Yep.
Why don't they just tell each other their names? It seems easy.
Yeah. It would make, like, it's one of those things of, I would just forget that shit. Like, that makes more sense. Like, I've forgotten their name, not I never knew it kind of thing.
Yeah, but I also feel like, when you forget those sorts of things, when you meet that person and they say their name, that's what triggers the memories, usually.
Usually.
anyway, the detective stuff was not as good as I might hope. I hope it's more of a focus on the romance. I suspect it will be. Making them all adults makes it less weird.
Yes.
And so I like that for this author. And some of the stuff, underlying stuff about, like, this being fate and, like, not wanting to be a detective but being good at, I think there's lots of thematic meat on those bones.
Yes, very much so. Listen, just because I'm really good at this does not mean that's what I want to do with my time or with my career. It's like, oh, that's too bad.
Anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
That takes us to Sakamoto Days, Days 190, 1 in 10 to the 40,000. What did you think of Sakamoto Days, Kevin?
I really liked it this week.
Yeah, I think this chapter ruled.
Yeah, this chapter was awesome. I love the catching the bullet on the bowstring to shoot it back at Hisuke. I was like, even Hisuke's like, hot damn.
I love that. I love the like romantic dance dodging in the middle. And her being like, oh no, if I have my lucky item, which is you, like I'm just incredibly lucky today.
Do you know what
the chances are if you like throwing a bunch of loose watch components in a bag and getting a watch? And he's just like, what are you talking about? And she throws a bunch of stuff in a bag, shakes it up, and he pulls out a gun.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love the, it's technically possible. Doesn't make any sense, but here we are.
This is how lucky I am if my boyfriend is here.
Yeah, this is very good.
Anything else you wanted to say about it?
Nope.
Next we have Kagurabachi Chapter 58, Reunion. I kind of like the twist here in Kagurabachi.
Mm-hmm.
It seems weird after last chapter being slow and like setup-y. I don't think like it really fires. It's not shocking. And I think it's kind of too bad to kill the other swordsman. Maybe he'll survive. I don't know. There's less impact if he doesn't die, but I think he's more useful as a character in the story than he is dead.
Yeah.
Which is, like I said, I like the twist specifically. There's just lots of specifics around it that are just kind of like, eh, that's okay.
That's fair, but I did enjoy it.
Is there anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
Next up, we have Hunter x Hunter number 407, Negotiation, which I think kind of encapsulates why there is so much, like, okay this week in Shonen Jump. I feel like there's a lot of setup.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed this chapter of Hunter x Hunter because it's a very elaborate setup for a, not technically fight, but a fight that's going to happen.
Yes.
And so establishing all the rules beforehand is good. It's very JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, actually.
Yep.
Unlike Dandadan, which is not very JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. But I really enjoyed it. I didn't take much notes. I feel like I could have either taken copious notes or no notes, and I went the latter.
Yeah, I feel like if you had taken copious notes, it would have just been a... All right, well, then it's...
The copious notes are for me, so I remember next week
what
the rules that were established were.
Which might not be
useful for this conversation.
No, which honestly will probably boil down to, for next week, me just reading this week's chapter.
Or next week we'll actually see Hisoka.
Yeah, so like if it's like, all right, here's the, you know, we're going to be playing the game. It's like, all right, cool, I'm just going to go read back over the last chapter that explains the rules of the game. Because like there was some cool stuff in there, like the... I really like the one girl asking about the perspective of, you know, it's a yes-no answer. Well, there's a trap in that. Is it yes, you can, or yes, you cannot? Like, depending on the perspective of how you're answering the question, you can say yes both times and both be truthful, even though they mean different things.
Yeah. And so, like, well established, this is how it works.
Yep, which was cool.
Anything else you want to say on Hunter x Hunter? Like I said, I don't have a lot of specifics.
Nope.
I'm excited, but
yeah,
that's how I am every week of Hunter x Hunter. It's like, next week's Hunter x Hunter is going to be great. And I continue to think that every week, so.
It's working.
Next we have Undead Unluck number 231, Remember. Black Clover is back this week, which we're not going to talk about it because it's in Jump Plus now. I did read it, but I wanted to bring this up because this is like the most Black Clover-ass chapter of anything I've read.
Fair.
Until I read the three chapters of Black Clover that came out this week. Where it's just like, stuff is just happening in a bunch of fights, and I can kind of follow it, and I kind of get it, but none of it feels tense or exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, a justice showed up and saved the day! Okay.
Also, Kevin, can you tell me why Victor split in two?
So that Fumiko could hang on to Andy and not just be kind of like awkwardly
okay
off
but can
on the
you
side.
Tell me why in the story that happened?
No.
Because, like, they make a big deal of it at the end of, like, oh, we can be split for this long. I'm like, that's cool. Why? How? When?
Yeah, it's like, what does this matter?
I looked back and I did not miss anything.
Yep. No, I had the same thing. It's like, haha, now there's two of us. I was like, this is literally just for the shot. So that they...
Like, you could have even been like, oh, yeah, you know how I can, like, regenerate another body. I just put his personality in that one. That would have been fine as a technique he could do that he's been saving, but... It just kind of happens and there's no explanation of it.
Yeah, and there's no real reason, like, there's no narrative reason for it either. Just, it's just here for the shot.
Next up, we have Blue Box number 173, Let Me Carry, which is the other really good chapter in Shonen Jump this week. I did like it. It's mostly about the shock ending, though.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, there's a big emotional bit in the middle, too. I shouldn't dismiss that, but the ending is the powerful bit.
Yeah.
Where that is like, oh, I'll go get her. That Taki shows up and is like, hey, please let me live here instead. She has basketball to do.
Yep. No, I don't really like that. You know, just the fact that he's willing to do that shit. And I really liked her, you know, the dad kind of overreacting of like, clearly you can't be living in the same place that your boyfriend is. I've been doing so for 6 months.
On the other hand, I think that's a reasonable concern to have with teenagers. These are fictional teenagers.
They are fictional teenagers.
Which makes it okay, but...
But there's also the level of... It's not like they're unchaperoned. She's living in a house with his parents.
There's definitely been opportunity and motive.
Yeah, but there would have been anyway. Like...
Yeah, I mean, yes, but there's a lot more than...
That's true.
I understand the concern. He's definitely being a jerk about it and being
especially when she's explaining, you know, like, he's one of the reasons I'm still here in this shit.
Yeah.
And then the jab of, well, you didn't make it to Nationals. Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, well, he's just an anime dad who doesn't know how to talk to his daughter.
Yes.
I get that. I assume with Taki living with him, we're going to explore him more as a character.
Yes.
And make him more... likeable. I do think the, hey, you shouldn't be living together is reasonable, even if he did 180 on it maybe a bit too quickly.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to say about Blue Box?
Nope.
Next up, we have Kanabanji story 135, Apprenticing. I have one note on this, Kevin, which is, I don't want a double flashback with cheese, thank you. It's not that long of a double flashback, to be fair, and
no.
It does give context. It just, I think... sums up my state of where I am on a Kanabanashi, which is, can we get to the story instead of the backstory?
That's fair.
That would be nice.
You know, I thought
maybe it'll pull a hard One Piece, and by the end I'll be like, oh, that was so good. But it seems less likely every chapter.
Yeah, it just seems like we're filling in backstory stuff, but I still liked it.
Last but not least, we have Mission Yozakura Family, Mission 251, Awakening. Which is also, like, fine.
Yeah.
It went very high for me, which I think will sum up how I felt about Shonen Jump this week. But I just thought it was fine. It advances the story well enough. If the story was better, I would probably get real hyped by the last couple of panels. But instead, it's just like, yeah, you've explained the plan 37 times, and now it's just basically going to plan.
Yep.
Like, there was a little wrench, and the kids had to get involved, but
yeah,
they didn't end up having to do much of anything, actually.
Yeah.
They never had to overcome any obstacles.
Yeah, they were just kind of like, oh no, something went wrong. All right, flick the switch, we're good. Oh, okay, cool. Thanks.
Anything else you want to say about Mission Yozakura?
No.
That'll take us into Jump Card then. Jump Card is the segment where we rank everything in Shonen Jump, not just what we talk about every week. 20 chapters this week. What do you have at number 20, Kevin?
20 is where I have me and Robico.
That's fair. The art wasn't good, and the joke got extremely old.
Extremely, like, fast, yeah.
I think the turns in the joke are actually very funny, which is why I put it higher, but every one goes too long before. Like, when it's like, and then Satoru Gojo on the thing. I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny. And then and Shohei Ohtani to add realism, because he's real.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those turns, I think, are funny, which is why it went above some other stuff for me.
That's fair.
But, yes, every bit of the joke went on too long, so I can... that is fair.
Mm-hmm.
I have Shinobi Undercover at number 20.
That's very fair.
They continues to just feel like the shonen manga, or they threw in a different bit of media to show some shonen manga.
Yeah, it's my number 19. The main reason it went above is the art was at least stronger than Robico's. I know that's what they were specifically going for with Robico, but still.
19 is where I have Niue's Exorcist. I feel like this chapter of Niue's Exorcist will really indulge in what I consider to be its worst vices, which is not the titties. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of its weird strengths and outliers. It's just like when it tries to be shonen, it just like goes so quickly and it overemphasizes things like names and turns.
Yep.
And none of it feels meaningful. This ability feels like he'll have a new one in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
none of it feels like it has any impact.
Yeah. Because it feels like he just whipped out a new ability, you know, 2 chapters ago.
It just feels that all the time. And I don't think that's actually true. I think it's a fast-paced for shonen manga, mm-hmm. but a much slower pace, like a once per fight. It's just that none of them feel like they matter by the time you get to the next fight.
Yep.
So this one doesn't feel like it matters.
That's fair.
What do you have at 18?
That's where I have Astro Royale. She goes Invisible Girl and shoots light beams at the guy. Okay.
I don't know. I didn't love it, but I didn't like a lot of stuff this week. No, that's
totally fair
for me. I think that's a cool idea, at least. 18's where I have Ultimate Exorcist Kyoshi, which just continues. It feels like more of last chapter, and I think this is where I rank the last chapter.
Yeah, it's my number 17. Really, when we have the mentor character with the one guy being like, all I have to do is stall you so that you can't help him. Oh, I don't need to help him at all. It's like, of course not. This is getting canceled now because we're fighting the Ultimate Demon Lord right now.
It feels like it, but it also feels like the Ultimate Demon Lord is going to go away, and like, a fight with him early on to set up a later fight is the opposite of a cancellation move.
Yes.
I was expecting this to be the final chapter, and that it's not makes me think it's going to stick around a little longer. But we'll
probably
see. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It can always be that, and then I got started training to fight the Demon Ward for real. The end.
Mm-hmm.
Those are not uncommon in shonen manga.
Yep.
17's where I have Witch Watch.
Okay.
This is another flashback, and I just don't care for it at all.
This is still technically the same flashback.
Well, okay, the flashback only started.
Yes.
The one panel of a flashback from last week doesn't count, in my opinion. I just... Witchwatch is not great when it goes into, like, shonen manga.
No.
And, like, what's good about it is the characters and the relationship in it, and that often shines through in the shonen stuff, but these are different characters in a flashback, so...
Yep, so it doesn't.
So it doesn't have that. And I don't really care about everyone's dad.
That's fair.
What do you have at 16?
16 is where I have Niue's. I would agree with you, just kind of like, you know... I've activated this new ability. Here's the backstory of where I trained to get it. Okay, cool. Whatever.
You know, Goku just went Super Saiyan 3, and Toriyama worried about it never. I mean, later? I have Mean Robocat at 16.
Fair.
What do you have at 15?
15 is where I have Super Psychic Policeman Chojo.
Me as well.
It was kind of funny.
I thought it was funnier. It didn't annoy me the way the jokes did. That's so it went one higher.
Mm-hmm.
It made me laugh about the same amount.
Yep.
What do you have at 14?
That's where I have Witch Watch. I would really just like, would you like to know all this stuff about our dads? It's sort of, but definitely not multiple chapters worth. Like, I could take it or leave it.
It doesn't really seem important right now either. It's not like dramatically. Now is the time. It's just the time you decided to tell it.
Yep.
So I have Undead and Luck here at 14.
Okay.
Like, it's just a bunch of Black Clover bullshit happening all over. Mm-hmm. So cool, I guess.
That's fair.
What do you have at 13?
That's where I have Kill Blue.
I put it a little higher, but fair. Gun to you hit my head, could not really tell you why. The whole time I was like, damn, is it down here? Is it up
okay.
here?
Yeah, it was okay. It's fine, I guess.
Oh, I know why. There's a joke in there.
Okay.
That is for me. That's why I put it higher.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, there was a lot of that. 13's where I have Ichi the Witch.
Okay.
It wasn't like this chapter is awful, but this is really just, okay, and now let's set the table for some stuff.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate it if instead they did some stuff.
That's fair.
I don't need meetings after every mission, especially if missions are going to be this few chapters. Like, when it's One Piece and missions take a year, I'm okay with, okay, now let's check in with everyone we've ever met for a little bit.
Yes.
But I have to have time to miss you, to be like, oh man, it's my favorite character, 6 weeks in a row on 6 different characters.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those, oh, well, we're gonna have this post-mission meeting because that mission went on for 4 years.
Yeah.
Been a hot minute. I have Undead and Unluck at 12. Yeah, I agree with you. It was just a bunch of like, an injustice showed up to save the day. Okay, cool, I guess.
I have Hakutaku at 12.
Okay.
I didn't dislike this chapter, so maybe Shonen Jump was a little better than I thought. It just didn't do much for me.
Fair.
We're still in the transition thing. I know how this story is going to end, though. Mm-hmm. I'm a little curious about the game, but the let's use AR stuff. Like, I get it. I think it's cool, but it seems very, like, gimmicky. Like, in real life, this would be super gimmicky. So it feels super gimmicky to me reading about it, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where this is an area of my expertise, and so I am more critical of it. It's not as bad as Neolation, where it's like, that's not how anything works.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of like, oh, they're going to try to sell me on this, and it is fantasy, so I should give them leeway. But also, I'm just imagining how not good this game would actually be in real life. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
What do you have at 11?
11 is where I have Mission Uzakura. I was like, yeah, it's just fine. Okay.
11's where I have Astro Royale. I think it's overwrought, but Invisible Girl can shoot lasers is a trope I like.
Fair.
My Hero Academia did it way too late.
Yeah.
And I like that this... A problem that a lot of shonen manga is that the female character in their big arc gets sidelined and needs to be rescued. And sometimes that's great. The Arlong Park Saga is one of the best shonen stories ever written. And Enies Lobby is the best shonen manga ever written.
Yeah,
so it's not like it never works. But I really appreciate that they found a way to give the heroine the W and be the big mover in her story. Because it so rarely happens. And this is a fine escalation of her powers, and it makes her useful and available for fights in the future. Unlike Nue's, I believe this power will come up again and be relevant, and I'll be like, yeah, she can do that, obviously.
Yeah.
What do you have at number 10?
10 is where I have Sidcraft. I probably would have gone a bit higher if I'd actually thought about it and realized that it was the We Never Learn guy, but just the fact that I was not a huge fan of the detective stuff at first kind of dragged it down. And it was really until the romance stuff started happening, but like way later in the chapter. So I was like, well, what was all that detective stuff? I mean, I get it was set up, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, I hope the detective stuff is better going forward or less of a focus.
Yep.
I also imagine we're going to, I think I would be surprised if this did not take influence from Case Closed and if future detective things are not multiple chapters, which gives you a lot more time. I imagine we'll get one or two more single chapter contained mysteries.
Yeah, probably.
But I would assume and hope we're going to get longer arcs, and that works better for mysteries, I think.
Yeah.
I have Elusive Samurai at 10.
Okay.
And again, it just feels... Saying, like, setup seems weird because they're under siege, but it's that kind of quiet under siege of nothing's really happening.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we had a bunch of allies come and help us out, and now...
We got some food to help weather the siege, and we're gonna, like, make a... We're gonna make some plans to not be sieged anymore. Sieges are weird for stakes.
Yeah.
It's the worst part of... Is Last Jedi the second one? I can never remember.
Yes.
It's the worst part of Last Jedi is how weird the quiet siege of the ship being chased is. That's not true. The worst part is the casino. But the stakes of it are very weird.
Yeah, the stakes of it are, well, the stakes and the rules and how they get out of it.
I don't mind the rules. I know that's a problem a lot of people have. I don't mind either of those. I understand the problems with them. My problems are more like... The stakes don't feel high, and it also feels like the New Order and the Resistance are just like two rival teenage gangs out in the corner of the galaxy, and everyone, the actual galaxy, is just taking their fists like, you damn kids, while these two punks are chasing each other.
Yeah, it's just because it's sci-fi is what really does it for me, where it's like, listen, I don't need everything to be perfectly thought through. Like, I can suspend a little bit of disbelief, but like the whole thing of, like, you wanted this, like, slow-moving siege with ships that have the ability, and it's like, oh, well, if, you know, if we jumped to hyperspace, or, if, like, if we tried to jump to hyperspace in front of them, they could jump to hyperspace instead. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll number them, like, 30 to 1. Just send half of your fleet forward and then pincer them, or, like, it's, you're in space. It's a 3D plane. You're not doing this, like... weird car chase.
Well, I mean,
scene.
Star Wars has always been that. Star Wars is always dogfights in space, which is why I don't have a problem with it, because it makes Star Wars logic, even if it doesn't make physics logic.
Yeah, it was just they've never had that problem of trying to run somebody down.
Yeah,
essentially,
it was a bad scenario to write into the key of the movie.
Yeah,
it works better when they get to Desert Hoth at the end, and it's a more literal siege.
Yeah, but then also there's the random fucking casino in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Hey, let's have a casino heist in the middle of our slow-moving space siege.
And it's the best of the three.
Yeah.
And it's the best of the three.
I mean, you can argue the seventh one is actually the best of the three because it's just the fourth one again, which was really good.
You're wrong, but you have an argument.
There's an argument there.
There are people that try to say that last one is the best one. Like, it does have one good part, so I can't say it doesn't. But
again,
it's
just plagued with a bunch of logic stuff of like, that doesn't even make sense in-universe. Like,
somehow, Kevin, what is your number nine?
My number nine was Hakutaku. I thought it was fine.
My number nine is Akana Banashi. Like I said, this flashback, I'm ready for it to be over two chapters ago. What do you have in number eight?
Eight is where I have the Elusive Samurai. You're right, it's all set up.
Eight is where I have Kill Blue, because the femdom joke is funny.
Okay.
What do you have at number seven?
Seven is where I put Ichi the Witch. You're right, the meeting to... It's kind of whatever, but I'm excited to... I kind of like the ice lady, like, shoots out of her mirror and is like, yes, I shall not allow this. And all of them are like, we're over here.
There's something about the first impression humor in Ichi the Witch that doesn't land for me at all.
Fair.
Because that's very similar to Descartes and how she, like, sort of shows up at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I get what they're going for, but, like, it just never works for me for some reason, including here.
That's fine. What's your seven?
I have Mission Yuzakura Family at seven. Like I said, everything about it is technically fine. I like Mission Yuzakura Family more, I would be way more excited. I wish the twins had to overcome challenges, but at least like stuff goes together. The fact that she let the cat girl go before like leading to their victory is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's thematically sound. Like I said, the pacing of this act of this arc has been pretty poor. What do you have at number six?
Six is where I put Hunter Hunter. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's just set up for the game. So, like I said, I'll probably end up just reading this again when the game is going to be played, if not next week, whenever that happens. And just remember, I can just go read the rules. Like, it's a little awkward to read the rules for a game and then not play it immediately, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Six is Kagurabachi for me.
Okay.
Like I talked about before, I like the twist. I just think a lot of the specifics are weird and wrong.
That's fair. I really liked it.
In 3 weeks, I'm not going to remember those things. I'm going to remember the twist.
Yep.
What do you have at five?
Five is where I put Akana Banashi. I'm liking the backstory just fine. So I'm like, well, at least this is an interesting story.
Five's where I have said Craft. Okay. Like I said, I like the return of this artist. I recognized it pretty quickly and weirdly just ended up looking at the author comments, which I never do. And he's like, glad to be back in Shonen Jump.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure this is the guy, but I should Google it. Mm-hmm. And it was. Like I said, I think there's thematic meat on the bone.
Yes,
of, like,
very much so.
This is just like what I'm good at and not necessarily what I want to do. There are concerns I have about it, but it's probably the new series I've been most excited for in a long time.
Mm.
What do you have at number four?
Four is where I have Hima 10. I'm liking the cute Hima 10 stuff, so.
Yeah, I'm going to criticize it more despite having it higher.
Fair.
Four is where I put Hunter Hunter.
Gotcha. So.
What do you have at number three?
Three is where I put Kagurabachi. Like you said, the twist is cool, and so I liked that, and I appreciate Chihiro getting summoned here to, you know, see what's going to happen now. Like, we don't have the blind guy just going on a rampage and, like, Chihiro finding out about it later, like, might have happened in a different story, you know what I mean? Where it'd be like, all right, I got him a sword, and then, you know, now he shows up later to almost everyone being dead and having to deal with that, and is a way I could have seen that going, but it's nice to have him just be here immediately. It's like, oh, cool, we're going to kind of resolve at least a bit of this now.
Yeah, the pacing of it is good. Mm-hmm. There's, like I said, there's lots of weird details. Three's right, if Hima 10.
Gotcha.
You pretty well summarize the good stuff about it, which is how cute it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot in this chapter that I think patently doesn't work in comics or that they failed to make work. Like the setup of, oh, we're going to play bingo and the losers have to do this embarrassing thing to get a romantic time later. That's all good. But the bingo game is kind of nothing.
Yep.
And singing in comics never works.
Yep.
That's why we have to explain in text why it's bad.
Yep.
And that stuff isn't great. But there's some A+ wingmanning in it. And all of it is, like you said, very cute.
Yep.
I feel like there's going to be a problem in Hima 10, which is that like the main character is too good a person. So it's similar to Blue Box, and they fix that by having a bunch of side love triangles.
Yep.
Right? Whereas like it just seems like these two should get together pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Especially when like the greatest danger to the couple is actively rooting for them and trying to get them together.
I think, honestly, the greatest danger is the model friend right now.
Well, yes, and that's why she was introduced, right?
But yes.
She's not actually... he's not into her, so...
Yeah.
I don't think that's actually a problem. She had to be introduced, but I said, the one that could actually be a romantic rival is actively fighting against her urges to do so. So
yeah.
You could get drama from that once they're together, certainly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We will see where it goes.
Yep.
What do you have at number two?
Two is where I put Blue Box.
Same here.
It was really cute. There was a cute bit in it, but it's a lot of that drama of, oh, hey, Dad, I'm dating Taiki here. Oh, cool. You know, like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'm going to be living in this hotel for a little bit while I'm back. And then when she comes up and he's like, hey, I'm dating Taiki, he's like, oh, cool. You're living with me now.
But yes, but nobody puts a bunch of springs and metal in a bag and shook it up and had someone else draw a gun
out of it. No. They didn't have that. They didn't have somebody catch a bullet on their bowstring and fire it back at the dude. They didn't have somebody get their head cut off by the bowstring.
They didn't have midair dancing to dodge a bunch of killer bow shots.
Yeah.
The documentary days was number one this week.
Yes,
that's what we're saying. Anything else you want to talk about before we move on from Shonen Jump, Kevin?
Nope.
We spent a while on it for one that we didn't think was that great. So maybe it was better than we thought, but I don't think so.
No, I think it was a lot of clarification of why we didn't like it versus when there's really good, we have usually have a lot of, it was good, go read it.
So we read Don to Don Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
Transitioning from that somehow. And we'll be back to talk about that after the break. So we read Don to Don Volume 1. You've been watching the anime,
correct,
right, Kevin? Are you current on it?
Technically, no. I'm one episode behind. I haven't seen this week's episode yet. But basically, yes, I'm current on it.
And my impression is it's gone farther than this.
It has gone farther than the first volume. Okay. It's like the manga is episode like 3 or 4. It's like midway through it, I think.
Someone didn't recommend this to me, but mentioned they were watching it to me, and I didn't know what it was, so I looked it up on Wikipedia, and my reaction was, well, that sure sounds like an anime, when mm-hmm. I read the Wikipedia synopsis,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how to sell Don to Don, because it's a lot, it's like the best version of the synopsis I read on Wikipedia. I ended up liking it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think this author has a really good comedic timing, and
just
not faith in themselves, and have chosen to go with very, very lowbrow humor. When I think they could have done something much better, and I wouldn't have immediately been like, oh, like, this sounds fine, I'm sure it's good, but it's not for me.
That's
because reading the manga, I thought it was very good. It made me like, oh man, maybe I should watch this anime.
I really like the anime. The anime is very good. You know, the reason I suggested we read it is I had been watching the anime almost since it came out. I think I started when episode 3 had come out, because some friends had been watching it and said it was really good. And so I started watching it, and I watched... And you know what? I think I started when episode 5 was out, because I think I watched all 5 episodes, like, at once. Because it's just... I really liked it.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. I had a pretty easy time binging the manga, and until the last 2, they're pretty long manga chapters. Mm-hmm. I want to read the Wikipedia summary of this.
Sure.
Just to give context. Momo Ayase is a high school girl who believes in ghosts, but not aliens, while her fellow high schooler, Ken Takakura, who Momo nicknames Okurun, believes in aliens, but not ghosts. In a bet to determine who is correct, the two decide to separately visit locations associated with both the occult and the extraterrestrial, Momo visiting the former and Okurun visiting the latter. Momo is abducted by a group of aliens who accidentally unblock her chakras, enabling latent psychic abilities. Meanwhile, Okurun is possessed by a spirit who takes over his body. By using Momo's abilities and Okurun's possessed form, they defeat the aliens together. The rest of the story follows the two as they team up with fellow students, friends, family, and new acquaintances to fight spirits and aliens. The overarching plot themes include retrieval of Okurun's penis and testicles mm-hmm. and the developing of romantic feelings between the two.
Yep.
I'm like, that sounds like an anime, yep.
Yep.
But like I said, I feel like it's the best version of that
because
it's genuinely very funny. The fight scenes look pretty cool.
Yeah, and they're animated really well in the anime too, but like you said, they're also very cool in here. There's the Turbo Granny mode where like he's not fully possessed that just has a lot of, you know, cool stuff going on with it. Like I kind of like where it's yeah, he gets all of this awesome power and he's like, "And I don't feel like doing anything at all."
And I think one of the other biases I have against it is Dandadan has been on the Shonen Jump app for a while, mm-hmm. and so I've seen it, and like I feel like the cover art looks really bad on it. Not just like specifically the viz, like, hey, click on this. But if you look at the covers to volumes, I feel like it looks a lot worse than the internal art, which
yeah.
is so weird and rare. Like it looks really, really generic when I look at the cover art. And the there's not like a super clear style to the interiors, but it looks good. Mm-hmm. It helps both the humor and the fight scenes. And like I said, the cover just like I feel doesn't sell the series at all. It just kind of looks like a gang manga, like a generic one.
Yeah, the click the like it was one of those I forgot it was currently running in Viz kind of thing. And even when it was like, yeah, this is the Dandadan, I'm like, it is? How does this represent the series? Like why is he wearing a beanie and like.
And a lot of those art like grow bad over time because the series shifts focus from what it was initially when all mm-hmm. the original promotional art was made. Like, I don't know that I think the Sakamoto Days art is super great for what Sakamoto Days is right now.
That's fair.
But this, like I said, from chapter one, it looks completely different and it looks much better yep. than the covers. And even just like scrolling down through volume covers, mm-hmm. They don't really sell the series at all, I don't think.
That's
either
fair.
The quality of the art or what the themes or interiors are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would agree with that. So that's definitely very weird, but I again enjoyed it. Like I like the romance stuff in it is actually really good.
Yeah, that's fun. It's just weird how base it is sometimes. Like also the grandma being Bayonetta sexy, and I don't know how else to describe her.
Yes.
That seems like so base and unnecessary, but everything around it is good.
Yeah.
It just seems like, like I said, and I don't want to project, it's wrong, I think, to judge author intentions, but it seems like they don't have faith in themselves and, like, just want to appeal and throw a bunch of mass stuff. And that's probably the smart thing to do. That's how you get eyes on your project. But it just doesn't seem necessary, because so the quality here is so much higher than I would expect reading that synopsis.
Yeah, and that's fair. But like I said, it's, like, I like the relationship stuff, not just because it's the... Oh, well, when we first meet Momo, she's essentially naked. Not when we first meet her, but like in the first chapter, she's naked for like half of it because she gets stripped to her underwear by the aliens. And Grandma is Bayonetta sexy, as you put it. But just like the stuff with Ken, like I love the fact that she really idolizes Ken Takakura, the actor. And is like, I want somebody who's like him. And Okurun's name is Ken Takakura. And she's just like, nope, you're not allowed to use that name anymore. He's like, but is my name. Nope, not allowed. But,
I'll give you a cute nickname. It's fine. That's what you always wanted, right? It's like, yes, actually.
Yeah,
but...
I love that he's like, literally, like, I've been looking for aliens because I wanted somebody to be my friend. And even the aliens turned me down. You were the first person who showed me any kind of kindness. And I kind of like that he's willing to go through all of this shit. Because he's like, I still want to be your friend.
But also, the ghost he meets is a grandma who wants to suck his dick, which is like an Adam Sandler parody of Ghostbusters level joke. But like I said, the timing of it and the quality yep. of it just really works. And with the art and all, again, it's so much base and lower brow than
it expands later, like very quickly later, like next couple of anime episodes later into. Oh.
Yeah, and I get that. I assume it would, because I have faith in this guy's ability yep. to create.
Yep.
But again, that's where you start.
That's where it starts.
That's what you read on Wikipedia, is there's a grandma who wants to suck his dick and curses him and steals it, right?
It's not sucking it. It's literally she wants to steal it.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That seems to be her motivation, but that's not what she says in the first... That's not her first line of trying of dialogue.
Let me gobble your schlong.
Okay. I think the word schlong got turned to schlorp in my head.
Yeah, I think it was gobble your schlong. She specifically wants to eat it to steal it, and there's a reason for that.
I have full trust in it. I'm capable of creating something good so you don't have to go to this lowest common denominator thing.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe it's just, I don't know how new the author is, but maybe this was a, well, I went with the lowbrow thing in the beginning to, you know, hit everybody. And then, oh, now I kind of actually started like leaning into other themes, like I said, very quickly.
And that's how Berserk works, right? Mm-hmm. It just, like I said, reading the Wikipedia synopsis, I'm like, yep, that's an anime. Actually reading the first volume of the manga, though, like I said, so much of the marketing, for lack of a better term, that hasn't been marketed heavily at me, but yep. I've seen this picture of like, hey, a new chapter of Dandadan every week for the past like 2 years.
Yep.
And I've always thought, well, that's not something I have
want to
any
read
remote interest
no
in.
That's exactly the same thing, and I would completely agree with that, and I believe that is a major failing of that, because I'm like, this is, like you said, this is really good, and this is also nothing like that picture does not depict anything I would associate with this manga at all.
Despite being the main two characters in the image.
Correct. But
and I can only assume the author drew them. They look so different, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about Dandadan?
Nope.
All right. Next week we're going to read Dawn of the Arcana, and hopefully I'll remember that when I need to read something. It's Persona related, right, Kevin? That's what I'm pretending until I read it. Until then, our opening theme is Fighting Against One's Will by Midair Machine. Our closing theme is A Psychic Fistfight by Tom W. Emmerich. Other music on the show is by Spectacular Sound Productions, and our album art is by Kate Wind on DeviantArt. www.lastpodcast.com is our website, where you can check out our past episodes, as well as my other two podcasts, It's a Gundam and Last Time on Video Games. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to plug, Kevin?
Nope.
Have a great week, everyone. Gotta stop.